Especially guys who go out to fight tarpon or sharks and stuff like that by themselves in the water, it's not a great idea.
Yeah, things can go wrong real quick.
And one of the things, I've been out with guys, and when you have hydraulic steering, it's still not safe to be, and it's never really safe to be alone.
Right.
But you're much safer. When you have Teleflex, the cable type steering,
goes into a turn.
If you release your hand from that wheel for just the wrong quarter second, boat can go left or right.
And, yeah.
We've seen that. I've actually seen it throw friends of mine out of the boat.
Yeah, I've had a couple people exit the boat.
Yeah, I mean, literally they get thrown right out the side of the boat. People don't realize, they get so used to driving a car, they equate any time they're driving with the experience in a car. But I've been in cars and going through it, and it hit a pothole, and the car just veered
off in
a crazy direction.
Right.
You know, people forget that because they get so used to driving their routines all the time.
Yeah.
Then they get in a boat and think it's the same routine, and it's not.
Yeah.
Boats can be really, really dangerous.
Yeah.
All right. So, anyway, with all that, I think we can all agree that going big fish fishing by yourself is not exactly a great idea. But, Andrew, you're a charter boat captain, and you're on the water a lot. You're booked a lot.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
As much as humanly possible.
And you usually don't have a mate, either.
No. No.
Yeah, I would hire a mate if I had four people.
Yeah.
If, you know, two or three, I didn't.
You should be able to. Yeah.
But when you get four people on a boat, often I would hire a mate to come with me, just because it's hard to, if you get into a big school of fish, it's really hard to keep everybody.
Sure is. Yep.
So, just for, you know, you may actually make less because you're hiring this other person to go with, but it's better for the customer. Now, one of the things about this, Andrew, you have been really specializing in big fish.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Lately, I've kind of been questioning that decision, but.
Tell people who we are and what your charter business and all that is.
So we're Big Bully Outdoors. We specialize mostly in sharks and the Goliath grouper and tarpon. Obviously, you know, we also do inshore snapper fish and all that good stuff. But I think just through our branding and pure coincidence, we've kind of marketed that area.
Got a little niche worked out.
Yeah. Yeah, where people want the, we call it the Christmas card fish, you know. Honest with them, you know, if we go Goliath grouper fishing, it's probably not going to be fun. You're not going to want to do it more than once, but you're going to be very satisfied with that Christmas card worthy picture you get at the end.
Cool.
Well, that's, you know, and not often hear charter boat captain say, listen, you're going to love this, you're going to get a Christmas card, postcard from this, but you're probably not going to do it more than once.
Right. Nope. Every time you look at the picture, you're going to remember the pain.
So, it's well worth it in the end, though.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Now, we were talking out front. We were up at the store talking. That's what gave me the idea about the show. We came back to do it. You had a woman who's probably my age on the boat, an older woman.
Yep.
She was just having a lot of fun catching Goliath grouper. What happened that day?
I'm not really sure of the mechanics of what exactly happened, but we were working on a big fish, and I was spotting her on the rod, which I normally do, just try and keep it off the gunwale.
Now, what do you mean spotting? Just standing next to her?
Just holding the rod when it goes down to the gunwale, just to keep it off the boat so it doesn't blow up in theory.
So you were standing next to her?
I was standing in front of her.
Yeah, but standing with her to make sure everything goes good on these fish. And this is probably a 400, 600-pound fish?
Yeah, I I have no, it was huge. I don't know. We never got it up, unfortunately. But
that's not good.
It took us down and hung us up. But yeah, so she's in the stool. All my anglers sit in the stool. It's shackled down. Somewhere along the way, it took her down to the gunwale. And next thing you know, I got knocked down and I was sitting on the deck and somebody was doing a somersault over my back.
Wow.
So she literally rolled on you and then out into the water?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I think what had happened was that she just got her weight forward because the rod was still there in the holder. I think she just lost her balance.
Right.
But
another easy mistake, and if you were an angler by yourself, you'd be in the water by yourself now.
That would have been catastrophic if you'd have done it by yourself because there'd been nobody to help you back in the boat, you know.
So you go through, get yourself up, and immediately go to get her back into the boat.
Correct.
And she's got some minor injuries, but
yeah,
she's like, no, I'm doing this again.
Oh, yeah, I initially thought she was scrambling to get back in the boat just out of, you know, it's
just
a lot
of
people,
of the water.
When they get in the water, they panic because they think something's going to get them.
Yeah.
No, she was scrambling to get back in the boat because she wanted her fish.
Cool.
But like I said, it ended up breaking her off. But before the day was over, she caught three more.
Wow.
So this is what tough woman.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me, I was down in a town, I won't mention which town, and this person comes up to me and said, you gotta help more women fish. I'm like, geez, what part of the 60s are you living in?
Yeah.
I mean, even in the 50s and 60s, women fish.
Sure.
And you can stand in this store, and there will be points during the day where there'll be more women in the store than men.
That is very true.
And this is just every day for us. And you see it, Andrew. Women love catching fish. They're great anglers. They want to go out and just... And they want to do it.
Yeah, well, and I tell everybody the same thing. You can give me the biggest, most muscly, you know, great shape guy, and you give me just your average woman walking down the street, and she will do a better job at something very technical. I say technical, but at something like Goliath grouper fishing, because they follow instruction.
Yeah, they listen.
They absolutely do.
Yeah.
Well, the only problem I have is a guy who one time in, like, 1979, a fish by holding the rod upside down and jerking it. And he's only fished, you know, a couple of times, but that's how he caught his fish. So he's going to do that every single time he goes fishing.
Yeah.
Everywhere, every place.
It happens.
Yeah. When you have a guy who is a pretty avid fisherman, he understands you're going to do different things in different places, and they'll work with you. Or if you've got a person who's never fished.
Yep.
But the only time I really have a problem with the guys is if they had one trip. This is the way they caught it.
Right, right.
Because it worked for me before. It's going to work here. It's going to work everywhere. It's never going to change.
That's
in
funny.
The meantime, his wife and his buddies and everybody else is catching tons of fish.
Sure.
And he's still sitting there without a fish. And unfortunately, he's the one that booked the charter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right.
He didn't catch it. Everybody else did. So, anyway, it's pretty strange to have somebody fall out of a boat. I would not say uncommon, but I would say it doesn't happen often.
No.
You know, we hear of it, you know, somebody's fighting a fish, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, they're in the water. It's not a regular occurrence, but it's not unheard of.
That's right.
Yeah, obviously you do everything in your power to avoid, you know, you give the best instructions you can, yeah.
I had somebody on the boat, and they were one of those, you know, bass fishing people, and he set the hook so hard when he came up, he literally fell off the boat.
Wow.
He was sitting there, and he was all, my boat's very wide, and he was on the port, or the starboard side, and he literally fell off the port side, the left side of the boat, after setting the hook, and he didn't connect with the fish because I think he just jerked the lips off the fish. And I was really surprised when I saw the hook. I figured there'd be fish lips hanging on it, you know. But he literally set the hook and went tumbling backwards off the boat. Very embarrassed fella. But we've had charter boat captains, and I think the two most often ways they fall out of the boat is throwing a cast net and yes. throwing chum.
Yes. I've fallen off the boat doing the cast net.
Yeah.
On the cast.
As much as I'd hate to admit that, but yeah.
Get a little light-footed, you know, and boop, you're in the water.
It's just amazing that you're sitting on the boat, you're throwing this net, you're heaving it with all your might, and then something gets tangled. Next thing you know, off the front you go.
I wish I could say something got tangled, but I think I just put a little too much oomph in it, and I didn't have enough ass to stay on the boat.
Yeah, well, that happens. Yep. I mean, it really does.
Or you step on seaweed and just...
Yeah. Bye. Well, the gunwale was only about 8 inches wide, what I was standing on, too. So it was really just enough room for your feet, you know.
But, you know, the one thing that's amazing is being out, like, say, in Boca Raton Pass. And what's up, Steve? Is somebody handed a
light? Not yesterday.
Okay. It's
not
a today. Long time ago, Steve. Okay. Yeah, long time ago. Is somebody out there looking for it? Did you? Hang on. Wait,
all now the boat with cast nets.
Yes.
Narrow gunnels.
Sorry, we had to put this on pause. This is, you know, a pre-recorded show. We record this on analog microphones and equipment and put it through a digitizer, which takes the analog system, brings it into that, and then the program saves it in one format. I resave it as an MP3, a lot of useless stuff you don't need to know. But anyway, there's no way for me to broadcast this absolutely live, and we just went on pause because that was ridiculous. So anyway, we're back off pause and going back with the show. We had one of the captains go out, and he you put live bait fish in a almost like a wiffle ball bat, yeah, or something like that with the end cut off, and you put the bait fish in there and you throw it up against the shoreline. And this is called chumming.
Right.
And you can chum with dead bait or live bait or whatever, but chumming is literally putting stuff out, trying to get the fish to entice up to bite. We had this bat half full of bait, and he came reared back, and picture a Major League Baseball pitcher, you know, with his arm way back, goes to throw it, loses his balance, never does throw the bait, ends up in the water, about 4 or 5 feet of water, sitting on the bottom, watching the bait come out of the chum bucket.
Yeah, slowly popping out there.
Just actually swimming out of it, trying to decide if he wants to come back and face the rest of us, say the boat, at that point.
No doubt.
Because he's sitting there going, oh my God. Now, I've just thrown myself off the boat with a chum bat, and now I've got to go back up. And facing the music is the worst part.
Mm-hmm.
But
years of ribbing.
Yeah, if you're unlucky, now we had one of our friends went down to the Keys.
Yep.
And slipped and fell in a boat.
Yep. And he was on the boat by himself. He was just lucky that there were other people in this group. They weren't in the same boat. They were a little ways away from him. But they saw him lose his balance, and he hit his side on the side of the gunwale of the boat and then went in the water head over heels. And he's not a small guy, so he's been out of work for the past 3 days, been calling in, you know, and trying to get himself back together again, but really hurt himself. And if his buddies hadn't have been around, he probably wouldn't have been able to get himself back in the boat.
Yeah, that's a tough part where, you know, we always want to go, and I'm a big one. I get on the boat by myself and go off to be by myself.
Yes.
Yeah.
But when you're doing that, you have to be conscious of every single movement you make.
Yes.
I mean, it's walking a highline wire.
It is.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Now, Andrew, nature, you've caught a lot of sharks. I would say in the probably the thousands over the course of this year.
Yeah, who even knows at this point?
I mean, literally, the numbers of shark your clients and you have boated over this year could number in the thousands. What happens when they get mad at you and strike back?
Well, every one of them does. I mean, it's Murphy's Law, right? I mean, so that's why I stay out of the water.
Because he's literally sitting in the chair, can't go back on a charter for until the middle of next week because his arm is in a sling. Yeah. Why is your arm in a sling? What did you do to that poor shark?
Just one of those, like we're just talking about, just one of those fluke things. You know, we had hooked up to a big bull shark. Everything went fine. We get a boat side, and I went to go put a tail rope on it, just use a dock line to put a tail rope on it so we could dehook it and stuff. And in the process, it became unhappy with that rope around its tail and started flailing really hard, and just by a freak chance, a loop had come up the rope, cinched around my thumb.
Oh, no good there.
So it,
well, you still got your thumb.
Yeah, it dislocated my thumb and my shoulder at the same time.
No, no, wait a minute. A rope wrapped around your thumb and dislocated your shoulder?
Yeah, a loop came up and essentially it got caught in a bite. So,
right.
So when the shark kicked its tail the other way, it jerked my thumb and my shoulder away from me so hard it dislocated both of them.
And you mentioned something about the tail of the shark hitting you to dislocate the shoulder.
No, so then...
So that's one incident? So you get your thumb wrapped up, dislocates your thumb, pulls hard enough to dislocate the shoulder.
Yeah, but the shark, you know, it had mercy on me. It must have heard me yelping like a little girl. Because obviously when it happened, my arm went numb, so I... and luckily the loop had come undone, so I dropped the rope, and I reached over with my other arm to grab it, which meant I leaned over the gunwale, and when I did, it reared its... It was still thrashing. It hit me in my elbow and knocked my shoulder back in for me.
So the shark dislocated your shoulder and then took his tail and hit you with his tail hard enough to relocate the shoulder?
Yeah, I must have hit it just perfect. I got lucky, you know, and it put it back in there.
Out and in 3 seconds.
Yep. Thank God it wasn't more than that, because I was getting ready to hit the deck. It was pretty painful.
So... Wow. That has to be one of the more unusual things I've ever heard.
Yeah.
You're landing a shark, you're getting ready, you want to take pictures, you want to get the hook out, you want to try and make sure the shark stays in nice shape.
Exactly.
Because, you know, I know it's not popular, but sometimes I almost feel when we're doing this catch and release, it's like the exciting part of the shark's day.
Right. Yeah. You get to go free again. Yeah.
Well, he's got this whole fight, the battle, and then all of a sudden he's just swimming away, and it's like... What the heck was that?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
You know, picture an alien spaceship coming over the top of us, and all of a sudden you get zapped up by this ray, or they lasso you with a rope, and they pull you to the spaceship. You fight like crazy, and then all of a sudden they just, boom, you're back on land.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
That's got to be the way the fish are feeling.
That's
it's got to be exciting part of
the
day.
I always compare it, alien abduction.
So... So you get this shark up. What did you have a customer on the boat who was actually reeling in the shark landing this
Correct.
Fish?
Yeah.
Now, what did they do when they saw all this come down?
Well, for me, it felt like an hour. I'm sure it was just seconds that it all happened, but you know, obviously they instantly started focusing on me, which in turn made me start yelling for them to just land your. I don't care. Land your fish.
Right.
You know, and I never dropped, the rope never left the boat, I just got it in my other hand, I kind of looped it around my back, so I'd have a little leverage. We ended up getting the fish, we got good pictures, you know, this was like halfway through the day, so we fished another 4 hours, I think we caught 3 or 4 more fish afterwards, which probably wasn't the greatest idea.
That's probably why you're still in the sling.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, they were in the chum slick, they're there, I'm not leaving
right,
them.
Right. Well, that's good. That shows.
I think in that situation, you should have asked immediately for a coloring book, crayons, some Play-Doh, and a petting puppy. You know,
maybe a hug, too.
Maybe a hug, too. Yeah, I don't know. The hug might have hurt.
Yeah, true.
He backed away. Yes, he didn't want that.
This is the problem we have when you look at people who have these safe... environment jobs, and then you look at what you actually have to do to make a living, and it's a wonderful way to make a living.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're outside, you're on the boat and all that, but real life is different. You have to do your job.
Yep.
And I always say, if I'm carrying furniture or something heavy around here, I want one of the guys who are a little more mature, have a little more age on them, because we don't let go.
Yeah.
Our arms will rip off the skin, will rip off your hand. But you know, if you let go, you hurt the other person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do our jobs.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the difference between us and I will say, every day, every week, I am shocked by how many great young people are coming up who really have that great, strong work ethic and all that. And then you watch TV and you look at these snowflakes and you're like, what are they going to do when they got to get out? And you have to do it.
Yeah.
Whether you're sick, you're hurt, whatever it is, you got to do it.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you're technically a millennial, I believe.
I think so, but I will tell you this. I was not raised as one.
Right.
You could call my mother right now, and if I would have called her and said, I dislocated, but she'd tell me to suck it up, quit being a baby, and walk it off.
Right.
That's how I was raised.
There you go.
Broken bones. There you go. We had to try and walk them off before we went to the doctor. You can't walk on a bended bone sticking out, and we need to go to the doctor. Other than that, be a man.
Yep.
Exactly.
It's a pride thing.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And you know?
Congratulations. Isn't it weird I get to be the age I can actually say stuff like that?
Yeah, right?
That's where you have all this gray on your face. About, you know, people ask me my age. I said, it's really simple. Count the wrinkles, divide by three.
There you go. There you go.
That's simple. Yeah, I guess that's a little weird, but I always admire people who do their job.
Yeah.
Who work hard, do the job, honest, you know, hardworking people. And you went on to catch more fish that day, all dislocated, busted up, and then get back and go, oh my God, this is actually a little worse than I thought.
Yeah, well, then you got to put the boat on the trailer and all that good stuff by yourself.
Clean the fish.
Yeah.
Filleting a fish one-handed, that would be a pretty good trick.
You know, but who's going to do it for you? Nobody's going to do it for you.
Well, and that's the thing you realize.
You know, I got stung by the stingray. I don't care. I finished my day.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
Isn't that a unbelievably painful experience? Now, how did you get stuck by a stingray?
We were filming a bow fishing thing, and it was just me being stupid. I didn't have, you know, I was wearing my sandals, 150 degrees out, and I was standing on the tail, and I was cutting the barb off. We were going to use it for bait, and it just, one of those things, it reared and it stuck its barb right into the knuckle of my big toe.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, man.
And then broke it off.
Nice.
So we had a camera guy and somebody else on the boat. So instantly I start screaming, get it out of me, because I know the longer it's in there, the worse it's going to be. And they're all screaming to get the camera. So needless
nobody
to say,
offered to urinate on your foot?
That came after, of course. So I had to pull it out myself with a pair of pliers. And that was, I have 5 screws holding my femur together, and that hurt less than that stingray sting. That was.
Yeah, that's pretty painful stuff.
Oh, that was, I can't even compare it to anything. I've never felt anything like that.
I was lightly stuck in the calf. I was wading barefoot through the harbor because I did that for years. I never wore shoes wading.
I
didn't like it.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I went up and I picked my foot up and set it down. Rather than shuffling, because I always would leave my toes on the bottom, you know, dragging my feet across. And I could feel if there was any sharp things or anything before I put my weight down.
Sure.
So I was always very comfortable barefoot in the harbor, and that one little mistake, and that stingray, and it wasn't his fault.
Right.
At the time, I was probably 190 pounds.
Right.
Now, this fish was, I would say, 10 or 15. It's pretty unfair for me to put 190 pounds on his back.
Yeah.
He was just saying, get off me.
Right.
You know, and so I never blamed the stingray. It wasn't his fault. No. You know, that's... You know, stingrays do that. But, man, my eyes watered. I lit up.
Right.
Oh, goodness. That was, you know, and luckily, that's the only thing that ever happened. It was a very minor wound.
Right.
It was just in and out very quickly.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can't even imagine having the barb stuck in your toe.
And people don't realize, you know, you hear it serrated.
Yes.
But it was so hard to get that out of him. I mean, I had both hands on the pliers.
It's one way.
And you're trying not to break it.
Yeah, it's one way, yeah.
Because, again, I don't want to have to go to the hospital. So I figure if I get it out in one piece, I'll probably...
Maybe you might not have to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
I've got it by a catfish one time, long time ago, and I bought a pair of those catfish grippers, and I never really had to worry about it again. Stingray, I've never gotten it by. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
I'll knock on the proverbial wood there.
Yeah, I doubt if it went in maybe a half an inch, quarters of an inch. It was not a tremendous wound at all.
Sure.
But, man, my eyes watered. And
very painful.
Two or three other friends, and, you know, you can't show weakness.
Right,
no.
right.
Show weakness, you're dead.
Yeah.
They're going to get you.
Oh, yeah,
I'm sitting there, and literally, you know, I could feel my eyes watering.
Yeah,
right.
And you okay, what happened? Oh, I got hit by a stingray. I'm fine, no problem.
right.
Then I got home and it was poultice packs and everything else I can think of.
Yeah, I think I spent 2 hours flat on my back with my leg in the bathtub eating pizza on the floor.
Wow.
And the scalding hot water.
You're lucky. One of the other guys I know that he's come in here a lot, he was out fishing, and one of the girls that was with us got a catfish, and he was, oh, I'll take it off. And so he took it off, and then when it fell and hit the dock, he went to go kick it across the marina. Oh. And he put that thing right through his sole of his shoe and up alongside the ball of his big toe. Well, we had to go to the hospital for that, yeah. You know. And actually, I think I wrote an article about that a long time ago and put it in the Water Life with the pictures, because I was in the emergency room. Literally, I asked the doctor, can I take a couple pictures? Yeah. He's like, sure. I'm like, zoomed it right in, and I'm like, click, click, click. You know, he's got the scalpel buried in the guy's foot, you know, pulling out. And it was probably 3/4 of an inch of a spike that he pulled out of the guy's foot. Now, that went through his shoe. This is just a catfish. This isn't a stingray. And it just went through the bottom of his shoe and right up through the ball of the foot there.
And, again, they're serrated, or what you might call barbed.
Yeah. Yep.
And people are always afraid of sharks, which I think is so silly. Catfish are way more dangerous.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot more of them.
For every dollar ever spent on a shark wound, $100,000 has been spent on
I wouldn't catfish have, yep.
wounds. Yeah.
Easily.
And they are not that much less painful than a stinger. I've been stuck by both, and it is horrendous.
Yes, yes.
Well, at least we have an expert with us.
Yeah, yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, one's a 9.5, and the other one's a 9.3.
Yep.
Yeah, right, exactly. Not much different. Just size.
No, the only time I was ever stung by a catfish, I always use that one particular catfish gripper, the one that you use.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's got two jaws that come out and grab the catfish securely. And this guy was trying to sell me this fish remover,
right.
Hook remover, fish gripper thing. And that little, it was a small catfish. And they're the ones that always get you with the right gripper.
Pretty wily.
The ones are easy.
Yeah.
It's the little ones.
Mm-hmm.
And he swung around and nailed me. I threw that guy's thing in the water.
We're done with this.
Do it. I'm bleeding. I mean, man, your eyes, your whole brain. I mean, shuts down for a quarter second and gets out.
Yeah, it's a reaction you can't control.
Yeah, and I was mad.
Yeah.
It went right in the water. But that's a prototype. I said it's right over there.
Yeah.
Go get it.
With all the catfish.
Yeah. Make sure you shuffle your feet while you're walking over there to get it.
So I went back to selling the same one I always sold. Sometimes you just got to go, well, look at me. I'm old. Yeah. I still work.
Right, right.
I still do the job.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe not as efficiently as I may have before, maybe more, I don't know.
Right.
But sometimes tried and true is great. That's why, you know, and when you look in our store, you see Jitterbug, Arbogast, Smithwick, all these older head and all these older labels and names, because they still work.
Yep.
Bomber's still a big presence in the store.
Sure.
Rapala. You know, and we get the new stuff. We have all the new toys and all that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot to be said for tried and true.
Oh, yeah. I love my bombers.
Yeah. I remember first starting to work in here, and you go, oh, man, we got to get all the new stuff.
Right.
Do this and do that. And then I found out that wasn't really the right way to go.
Right.
Add some of the new stuff and let people play with it and, and see if it becomes a classic.
Yeah.
Most new lures have really a usable work life of about 1, maybe 2 years.
Right.
And then they don't work as well. I don't know why that is, but I think maybe the fish get used to them.
Sure. They've seen it.
They start seeing it. If they've never seen it before, it's like egret baits and that live target have the side-to-side
tail action.
And that's been unbelievably effective this year.
It sure has,
Really, really effective. Whether you're buying the egret little soft baits or you're buying the live target one, I don't think it has as much to do with the pretty look.
No.
Because they look just like a greenback or a threadfin or whatever it is. You can pick the look you want, and it's amazing reproduction of
it.
I don't think it has much to do with that.
It's vibration first.
I think the tail action, that side to side, is so different and coming out. It's like the new Rapala. I just saw massive boxes of stuff from Rapala.
Oh, yeah.
In the office, waiting to come out. I'm hoping that's the new stock.
Oh, cool.
I haven't opened the boxes yet.
Ah, cool. Yeah, right,
This is one of the first lures. Andrew, I will give you one of these lures. I'll give you one, Jack.
Cool.
You guys go out, and I hope you have the same experience I did. fish did not, I mean, they couldn't help it. They hit that thing.
Wow, cool.
I caught more fish than, it was amazing with this new stop. Twitch, twitch, twitch. And when you stop twitching, it stops. It doesn't continue glide.
Huh.
Oh, wow.
It's got a tail in the back and a tail in the front. Now, one good thing about this is I will sell a lot of them because after 2 days, I broke the back tail off.
Right. Lip on the right, back, right.
And you got to buy a new one.
So you got to get a new one then, yeah. Right.
So because of that, it's not delicate. I mean, I caught a lot of fish. Peacock bass,
sure.
Largemouth bass. I caught a ton of fish with it. But I did break it off.
Yeah.
But they're not going to warranty the tail. You're going to catch fish. They're not extremely expensive. But yeah. It is something you have to be more careful of.
Right.
And I did it because I snagged it. And when I snagged it, I gave it a big jerk. And I think that weakened it. And then when I caught the next fish, he was fighting, kind of wrapped around something. I really pulled him back.
Thank you. Gone.
And I didn't catch fish with it. I'm like, why am I catching fish? I've been catching fish all morning.
Mm. And then realized the tail was gone.
The tail was gone.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
That'll do it.
That was a weird Austrian segment. You know? I didn't mean to rattle off on the sideways. But getting back to this, anything else we could think of? Any more strange stories on the water?
Not this week.
Not this week.
Not this week.
Yeah, I've had about enough for a couple weeks between the mirror lure stuck in my palm and then
so you had a mirror lure stuck in your palm as well?
Well, I think everybody who's gone lady fishing with a mirror lure has had a mirror lure stuck in their hand at some point.
Yeah.
Cast net in one hand and I had the mirror lure stuck in the other because I was de-hooking the fish while we were catching the lady fish while I was throwing for white bait, so.
I've had them rocket by me before, but I haven't gotten one in my hand yet.
I had Johnny Rattler, all three treble hooks stuck in the back of my head.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, you should have seen the guy who did it. And he doesn't realize that it was the back of my head, the lure stuck.
Right,
so he's jerking.
Oh, nice, yeah. Why won't it come free?
Yeah, you know, because he was casting, and he caught me on his back cast. And I'm like, you can stop now. You actually hooked it.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. The one you got to throw back.
Yeah.
Not a keeper.
So you're not going to be able to land this one. I'm already in the boat. But... Yeah, a lot of different hooks in you. Now, I'm telling you, I have found, especially with ladyfish, I don't need the barbs on the hook.
Yeah.
I'm flattening the barbs on my treble hooks on my lures more and more. I can't, a couple of times in the last few years, I haven't taken a moment to flatten the barbs off. And I don't seem to have any trouble landing fish with it. You know, keep my rod tip up, let the rod keep the tension on it. If your rod's about 10 o'clock, that tip bending and that, that's the job of the rod.
Sure.
To keep the line tight. As the fish comes to you, the rod straightens up. As he goes away, the rod bends over. And so I'm not as bad because I've been stuck since then with lures, and they just come right out.
Yeah.
And literally barely feel
they
it.
They come out of the fish a lot easier, too, when you go to release it.
Yeah. And so I'm really not doing, but I will say barbless hooks are horrible. I hate barbless hooks.
Right.
When you flatten the barb, you still have a little bit of a rough edge there that seems to retain the fish.
Yes.
So I don't want barbless hooks on my lures. I want to take my pliers and bend the barb myself.
And I do that with all the bombers because I've had so many snook that, you know, sometimes you get that one that's 33 or whatever, and it's really no problem to deal with them. You can almost get your hand in their mouth to get, you know, stuff done, but it's a small one. It's the one that's 12 inches long that just took that big bomber right up to the lip of the lure, and the fish is about maybe 8 inches longer than the lure itself, and those are the ones.
To get in there,
nothing.
We work very, very hard and try, and we work with our customers and we work with education and we work with people to try and make sure that the fish are released. And maybe they just had a good time.
Yes.
You know, I know that's not politically correct to say, but who's to say it's not true?
Right.
Yeah.
Anybody can, you can say whatever you want about a fish because no one knows the truth.
Right.
Fish may or may not feel pain, but we know they don't feel it the same we do.
Right.
It's like with a shrimp. If you kiss that shrimp or you put a hook into them, exact same sensation.
Yeah.
Both of them upsetting.
Yes. Yeah, right.
You
didn't want either one of them.
You
may
think a kiss is nice, but to them it looks like they're going to be eaten.
No. Yeah, right.
I mean, that's a scary thing if you're a shrimp. All of a sudden this huge creature comes up. And you know,
right.
So they don't like the whole kissing thing. They don't like the hook thing.
Right.
They don't feel a difference between the two of them. that I'm sure of. With fish, we don't know. So they could have as much fun being caught and released as we do, because their mouths are made to, they eat live blue crabs, they eat stingrays, they get stuck by catfish, all these things.
As many hooks as you've been finding in the Jewfish lately, or the Goliath grouper, I guess I should say, but with as many fish as you're finding with hooks in them, it's evident that that fish knows at some point, that's on a rod.
Fish.
Right?
Yep.
They eat lionfish.
Well, and the sharks, they eat stingrays. You can't tell me they don't get those barbs in the roof of their mouths.
I actually pulled, when I was doing charter spot, mm-hmm. I had about a 16-inch pair of pliers, and I have gone through and pulled stingray barbs out of the roof of a shark's mouth.
Wow.
Out of his tongue. You know, have you ever done that, Andrew?
I've actually, I did a set of big hammerhead jaws. It's one of the ones that washed up dead a few years ago,
right.
And I ended up just through a series of events, I did the jaws for the person who took it out to dispose of it for FWC, and I think there were six barbs embedded in its jaws.
Yeah.
So this is not unusual, and when you look at a fish's mouth, it's designed to be torn and healed back very quickly.
Yep.
Because of the variety of stuff, even bass eat crawdads, mm-hmm. and all these other things, and they're swallowing a hole, and these things are fighting back.
Yep.
So who's to say I'm not right?
Yep.
That this could possibly be as much fun for the fish, a workout and a little bit of excitement, and then they go back to their life.
Yep.
Well, they jump and run around more than we do when we hook them.
That's for sure.
We could be, giving them a great aerobic experience.
Right.
This could be actually good for their cardiovascular system. And the absolute 100% truth is no one can tell me I'm wrong because no one knows.
Right.
So, anyway, on that word of my own little idiosyncrasy weirdness, any last words for the people out there, folks?
Well, if you're going to go fishing for big fish, take a friend with you.
Yeah.
Try not to do it alone. Things can go wrong fast. If you're on the boat alone, wear the damn throttle cutoff cable.
If
you get out of the boat, you were talking about hydraulic steering versus Teleflex. I mean, you have two things. Okay, if you fall out of the boat and you don't have that cable on, the boat's going to either come back around to get you, or it's just going to drive off into the sunset.
Right.
In either case, you're not going to be around when they find the boat. They usually always find the boat.
Yeah, and I actually own one of those life jacket blow-up vests.
Yep.
They're very thin.
When you hit the water, it blows up.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I actually use the one where you have to pull the string on it.
Right, because it could get incidentally wet.
It can get incidentally wet, and they blow up.
We don't go out in any rough water like that, do we?
So I actually, if things get a little rough, or if I'm in a situation where I can get anywhere concerned, I have one of those to put on.
Sure.
And wear that, and I put my kill switch on when I'm in the boat by myself.
Yeah.
It was much harder on charters to put my kill switch on because I was constantly going
and moving around the
having
boat.
Having to be around somebody else.
Sure.
Or think of other people. So I had to move quickly. And it was easier for me to, neutral off.
Yes.
And go deal with it.
Yes.
But it became second nature. Now, any good advice, Andrew? Or just general? This is a great time for random thoughts.
the way I look at it, the easiest way to look at fishing by yourself is think about what you're going to do if you do catch your fish and it's next to the boat, if it's a snook or something, it's not a big deal. If you want to go out and get tarpon or sharks, or
gotta have some kind of plan.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't land it, de-hook it and release it yourself, just, it's not worth it.
I had a black eye. I've had my nose. I'm sure it was broken, but just bled like crazy. But when the doctor was looking at my nose, he said, how do you breathe out of this? I might have had an exuberant youth, but when you got that tarpon next to the boat, have you ever had them you're sitting there and everything's kind of calm and peaceful, you're taking the hook out, and all of a sudden they give that big swoosh to the tail and they lunge up.
Yep.
I've had them hit me right in the face or go right next to my face.
Yep.
And if you're quick enough, you get out of the way, but if you're not quick enough, you get a face full of tarpon.
Yeah, which is pretty
good
much
thing they don't have teeth.
Yeah. Pretty much the same thing as getting hit with a cinder block.
Right.
With that head.
Yeah, it is a box.
It's kind of funny. That's one thing we forgot to mention about was literally getting hit in the face, dislocated fingers or broken fingers
mm-hmm.
from tarpon.
You could get knocked out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens.
So, anyway. Well, I think I could probably come up with a lot of stuff, but I guess we're going to get out of here. I got to get back to work. Jeff's got to go back to work. Andrew's got to go heal and recuperate.
Yeah, I got to get back to the ice.
Got to get back to the ice. So, anyway, thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it. We'll be back in just a little while.
Anytime.